دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our world, our community with Debbie Amini.
سلام و درود شنوندگان عزیز رادیو ایران KIRN و علاقمندان به برنامه دنیای ما جامعه ما. دبی امینی هستم و امروز به همکار کارگردان فنی خوبمون آرمین جون میزبان مهمان بسیار عزیزی هستیم که در سال 2017 تاج دختر شایسته از کشور عراق رو از آن خود کرد. ایشون در ضمن موسیقیدان هم هستند و الان فعالیت میکنن در زمینه هیومن رایتس، در واقع هیومن رایت اکتیویست هستند. خانم سارا ایدان، ایشون در شهر بغداد در عراق متولد شدن، در حال حاضر ساکن شهر فرشتگان لس آنجلس هستند. بعد از مهاجرت از بغداد عراق به امریکا در مسابقات بیوتی پاجن در لاس وگاس در سال 2017 شرکت کردند و تونستن مقام میس یونیورس عراق رو از آن خودشون بکنند. میس سارا ایدان، welcome to today's program.
Thank you.
It's great having you. Can I ask you, how old were you when you left Iraq?
I was 19 years old.
And did you come directly to Los Angeles or you had to go to other countries, stay there to get the visa or something?
No. So when I was in Iraq, I applied for a job for the U.S. government and I was a translator for the U.S. Army. And when you work with the U.S. military for over a year, you can apply for what is called special immigrant visa. And with that, they give you a green card that's valid for 10 years. So you automatically, you know, you can apply for citizenship after 5 years. And I came, when I first came to the U.S., I went to Arizona and Texas before I landed in California. And, you know, just looking for a place, you know, that feel right and feels like home. And I found it in Los Angeles.
That's great. I think everybody feels at home in Los Angeles because we have multiple nationalities. And yeah. No matter what we do, we find something. And people yeah. that are from our country. You're also a musician. What instrument do you play?
I play piano and vocals.
Wow. And do you write songs as well, or like melodies, or you just play?
I do. I actually, before I went into Miss Iraq pageant, I was in Egypt and I made my first tribute. I wrote music for a really big film. It's called El Erdi Bitkellem, The Monkey Talks. And, you know, it was all over the cinemas and, yeah.
That's great. Wonderful. Had you had any songs that was some of, like, let's say, famous singers, they use your writings to sing a song to...
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
I know my question was kind of vague. I was just wondering that do you write in Arabic or English?
I write in both, but mostly in English.
Okay. So is there any famous singer who used your writings to sing a song?
Oh, any singers who have used my music, you
uh-huh.
mean?
Mm-hmm.
No, I think only one time, it was a long time ago, I wrote for a little play. It was, I think, somewhere like in the south of the U.S. It was like a little play for some people, and I wrote them a song, and they loved it. It was a mother, she did it about her son that she lost, and... That was the only time I wrote for someone else.
Okay.
But even the song that I wrote for the movie, it was my vocals, you know, and me playing the piano that was part of the film. I did not write for anyone else.
That's very interesting. I want to ask you, what encouraged you to enter the beauty pageant in 2017?
Well, first I entered in 2016. It was Miss Iraq USA before, you know, I was called to go to Miss Iraq. And it was the first pageant I won. It was held here in Michigan. And it wasn't actually my idea. I never been fan of the beauty pageants, to be honest with you. It was my sister's idea. And she told me, and I wasn't even convinced. And she's like, come on, You are very well spoken. You have a talent. You're beautiful. You should do that. And I, at the time, my only focus is music. And she said, you know, like, if you do this, like, you know, you can still gain maybe exposure, and then people will listen to your music. So I did it. But it's, you know, it's funny how life, like, where it takes you, like, from art and music and to politics. Yeah.
Very good. But when you entered, I know it was because of encouragement of your sister. You entered on behalf of Iraq. So what was your expectation from the people who are actually currently living in Iraq right now? Did you think that they will encourage you and will be happy that one of their citizens will be competing against, like, I don't know, how many women were competing that year?
No, hold on. So now I understand. Okay, so the pageant, how I got into the pageant world is what I told you. It was my sister's idea. It was the first pageant. Mm-hmm. It was not the Miss Iraq pageant. It was the Miss Iraq USA, mm-hmm. which is a smaller pageant. It's not really that significant. So when I entered, you know, I wasn't thinking anything else besides, like, you know, music, and I wanted to focus on music. But then when I got called for Miss Iraq, the international competition, like to go and participate in Miss Universe, to me that was something else. I went there with, you know, completely different mentality. The reason I wanted to participate in that one, and I was dying, like, you know, praying to God, like, you know, I will be picked and I get to do that, because I knew that my country, Iraq, you know, needed a really good representative, someone, because we're in a time in Iraq where people are really divided and ununited, and they hate each other because of religion and because of the difference of their background, you know, and all that started with the civil war in 2004. And I felt like, I'm like, you know, I was asking God, I'm like, God, please let them pick me. I know exactly, like, you know, like, I came here, I came to the United States, and I have a very different view of how to become, you know, how to come together and how to be united. So that was the main reason. I wanted to go on stage, you know, on international stage. I wanted to represent Iraq in a very modern, very beautiful way, to show, you know, that women can be, like, Iraqi women are powerful, are determined, and they seek peace. That was, you know, these were the motives when I participated in Miss Iraq.
Okay, that's very interesting. How many years was it before you that nobody had participated as Miss Iraq?
It was at the time, I think now it's almost 50 years. By that time, I think it was 45 years.
So after 45 years, you were the first one who actually had the courage to participate.
Many girls had the courage, you know, uh-huh. It's like I said, you know, Iraq, like, it's full of beautiful, brave women who don't have a voice, like, in the international community. Mm-hmm. But I was picked, you know, okay. I have good luck. God was on my side. But yeah, no, many women participated. Uh-huh. Many women were dying to go, you know, and be on that stage.
Okay, so I hear you. On one hand, you wanted to go on stage and show the world mm-hmm. how strong Iraqi women are, how beautiful they are, as a matter of fact, and they are seeking peace. But at the same time, I think there are people in your own country who currently live there that perhaps they weren't so happy about this. Maybe this was against their belief system. They objected to it. I'm sure that you appeared in swimsuit as part of the mm-hmm. beauty pageant as well. What was their reaction?
I received death threats.
Oh, God.
From the moment that my, you know, with the picture with Miss Israel and with the bikini pictures, that, you know, to the point where Miss Universe had to delete the pictures of me in a swimsuit and take it off from their websites, because they didn't want any liability. Many people were angry, yes, sadly. You know, I always say this to, you know, to the people who are not born and raised in Iraq. It's really sad that, you know, while I was growing up, and even, like, back before, like, you know, like in the 70s, I would say, in the 80s, Iraq was really modern. And slowly, like, you know, little by little, it became Islamic. But even when it became Islamic, it wasn't really Islamic because, you know, dictator like Saddam Hussein, he was like, he was against, kind of against religion because he had the pan-Arabism. He was using that, you know, as a dictator. So he wanted to unite the Iraqis by being Arabs against, you know, everyone else. That was his ideology. So he kind of, he did not lend a voice to all the Islamic, like imams and sheikhs. He tried to, even he banned them from having like public, you know, like al-Husayniyah and Nadmiyat and all of that. Like he would not allow them to do that in the streets and close the streets like they do now. So anyways, when Saddam was removed, is during the civil war, we literally had, Iraq was like a battle zone for people who came, like, you know, they were Al-Qaeda, they came from Afghanistan and in Pakistan, and people who were like extremist Shia who came from, you know, the Khamenei people, basically, the Iranian regime people, they came to Iraq. And Iraq was battleground for two extremist religious groups. And I remember the first time I was forced to wear hijab in the street was in 2004, you know, to protect my life, because we literally had snipers, you know, like they were in the mosques and they were like in some buildings and they see a woman wearing, you know, walking, not wearing hijab, and they would like, you know, just shoot her from a distance. And they shoot a lot of people. So it was really dangerous. And since then, I feel like Iraq, we were, we had religion shoved down our throat.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen Iraqis, like they turned like 100 years back, you know?
So it sounds very similar to what happened to our country, Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately,
exactly.
It seems that, yeah. That's really sad. So but were your family safe? They were here with you or they were back in Iraq? Because if you received death threats, mm-hmm. it would be scary if they lived back at home.
They received death threats before I did, and they woke me up with a phone call, and that was the day when I took the picture with Miss Israel. And then I was looking at my phone, was, you know, being blown up with messages and all of that, and I got death threats from Hamas. And so I talked with them and I was crying and I was like, you know, shaking. I'm like, what should I do? What can I do? And they're like, it's okay. Like, keep going. Don't leave the competition. We are leaving. I'm like, are you sure? And they said, yeah, we are sure we're going to leave. And they said, listen, Iraq is a mess anyways. Like we don't see, we can build a life here. So we're just going to leave. So within 3 days they left Iraq. They went to another Arab country and they've been there since then.
Okay. I'm glad they're safe. Because that's really scary. So this picture mm-hmm. that you referred to a few times with Miss Universe Israel, was it just a friendly picture that you took with somebody else who was in the beauty pageant with you? Perhaps there were other people from mm-hmm. other countries as well. Or you purposely took a picture with Miss Israel and posted it. Where did you post that picture, by the way?
So first of all, as you can see that I posted a picture with many girls at the time. One of them I deleted the picture with because, you know, she had a strong reaction to my relationship with Miss Israel, which was Miss Lebanon, when we were really good friends during the competition. But I think when she went back home, she had a lot of pressure from Hezbollah. So anyways, I unfriended her. I took down our pictures. But I have many pictures with, you know, Miss Egypt, Miss Malaysia, like, all, you know, Ghana and Nigeria, like all the girls that I formed, you know, friendships with. It was just normal that we were taking pictures. But what happened with Miss Israel and why, the reason why I posted that picture was we were doing a photo shoot and it was literally my first day in the competition. And, you know, when I came, everyone would see me wearing the Miss Iraq and the girls were like, you know, curious and happy. And these girls, they had they were so passionate about the, you know, the beauty pageant world that they knew the entire history. You can name any year and they will tell you who won that year. You know, I wasn't like that, but So they saw me, they're like, oh my God, Miss Iraq is back in the competition. So everyone was so excited. They would come and say hi. And Miss Israel saw me from afar and she was like, she seemed nervous, really nervous. And she looked at me nervously and she wasn't wearing her sash. And, you know, we're waiting like, you know, to go, we're in line to go and take photos. And I saw her and I thought it was weird. So, you know, I looked at her, I smiled, I said hi. Then she came over and she said, I'm sorry. Like, you know, I'm sorry I didn't, you know, come and talk to you. I wasn't sure if you would feel comfortable. You know, she said they told us, like, don't approach some countries because you might, you know, get like a strong reaction from them. Like, that's what they advised her.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, why? And then she picked her sash and she showed me she was Miss Israel. So I really felt kind of like embarrassed and ashamed. I said, listen, dear, I said, I don't really care what country, you know, you're from. We're here. We're, you know, trying to be like ambassadors for peace and sending a good message to girls. If anything, we need to show the people like we need to unite. We don't really care, you know, it's not about the government. And even like back then, I wasn't thinking like in political terms, I was thinking in humanitarian, you know, terms, like, you know, let's be human beyond borders. And I took the photo with her and she took the photo and, you know, we captioned it with the peace and love from Miss Iraq and Miss Israel. And yeah, that was basically it.
Wow. And that caused all those death threats and that and also wearing the swimsuit.
Yes. Both.
Okay.
And
But I think it's interesting that even then you had in mind the peace in the world. And you're absolutely right. I think people should understand that sometimes governments are using people for their own personal agenda and maybe people should not fall for it. We all want mm-hmm. peace for the world. And as you said, definitely you could be the ambassador of peace, but each individual probably can be an ambassador of peace mm-hmm. in the position that they have and what they do. So with mm-hmm. your permission, I just want to translate a little bit of what we just talked about. And then we're going to take a short commercial break and then we're going to be back and we're going to continue our conversation. دوستان عزیز در صحبتی که من با دختر شایسته کشور عراق در سال 2017 داشتم ایشون تونستن تاج میس یونیورس عراق را از آن خود بکنن و هدفشون هم از این که شرکت بکنن در این برنامه این بوده که بتونن در واقع نمایانگر زنان قدرتمند و زیبای عراق باشند و اینکه نشون بدن که در عراق افرادی هستند که به دنبال صلح هستند بلکه که به دنبال آنچه که در عراق اتفاق افتاده در چند سال اخیر متاسفانه کشور محلی شده برای جنگ عقاید متفاوت و از هر طرفی هر کسی خواسته که عقاید رو به افراد عراقی تحمیل بکنه و به نوعی معتقد هستن ایشون که کشور عراق به 100 سال قبل برگشته به جای اینکه پیشرفتی داشته باشه و بعد اول با تشویق خواهرشون وارد میشن به میس یو اس که بعد از اون دعوت میشن برای میس یونیورس و این دعوت رو میپذیرن برای اینکه همونطور که گفتم هدف بهتری داشتن و اون هم فعالیت در زمینه هیومن رایتس بوده و بعد به دلیل اینکه یکی از کارهایی که باید بکنن افرادی که برای میس یونیورس یا دختر شایسته اقدام میکنن این هست که با در واقع مایوی شنا وارد بشن لباسهای متفاوتی باید بپوشن لباس شب ولی یکی از اونها مایوی شناست و یکی به اون دلیل و یکی به این دلیل که با نماینده کشور اسرائیل هم عکس گرفتن من عکس رو پست کردن و زیرش هم نوشتن صلح و عشق از طرف میس عراق و میس اسرائیل و این باعث شده که خودشون و خانوادهشون تهدید به مرگ بشن از طرف افرادی که افراطی هستن و این عمل رو دوست نداشتن خانواده مجبور میشن که عراق رو ترک بکنن به کشور عرب دیگه مهاجرت میکنن و خوشبختانه الان صحیح و سلامت دارن در اون کشور زندگی میکنن ولی خوشبختانه خانم سرا ایدان از این مسئله نترسیدن و همچنان پایدار موندن عکس ها رو اونجا نگه داشتن این مسئله حتی باعث شده که افرادی هم که در بیوتی پیجن بودن و همه خیلی دوست بودن و فرندلی بودن مثل میس یونیورس لبنان دیگه قطع رابطه بکنه با خانم میس ایدان و مجبور شدن که بلاک بکنن همدیگر روی صفحات اجتماعی. و واقعا جای تأسف هست که مردم تشخیص ندن که ممکنه دولت‌ها به دلایل خاص خودشون با هم دشمنی داشته باشن، ولی ای کاش مردم پیشرو به صلح باشن، بخوان صلح رو در جهان پیاده بکنن و هر کدومشون به نوعی بتونن پیام رسان این صلح باشن. خب در اینجا بریم به پیام‌ها و آگهی‌های بازرگانی بپردازیم و باز برمیگردیم و من به سوالات خودم از خانم سارا ایدان میس یونیورس عراق ادامه خواهم داد.
شنوندگان عزیز، قبل از هر گونه سرمایه گذاری و برای ایجاد حساب‌های پردرآمد کوتاه و بلند مدت با تضمین مالی و امتیازات مالیاتی با من تونی باروتی مشاور امور مالی مالیاتی و سرمایه گذاری با تلفن 424-465-9000 تماس بگیرید.
با من نازنین باروتی استیت پلانر و تکس اترنی برای ایجاد تراست، پروبیت، اسید پروتکشن و آوردن پول از ایران به آمریکا تماس بگیرید. 424-465-9003.
من پام درد میگیره وقتی خیلی سر پا وا میستم.
من پام درد میگیره وقتی خیلی میشینم.
من پام درد میگیره بلافاصله بعد از چند قدم راه رفتن.
من پام شبا سرد میشه.
من پام ورم میکنه.
من پام شبا میسوزه.
من از ظاهر باریسی روی پاهام بدم.
یه زخمی رو پامه که خوب نمیشه.
من تقریبا داشتم پامو از دست میدادم.
ناراحتی های پا میتواند دلایل متفاوتی مثل سیستم گردش خون ناکافی، نرسیدن خون کافی به پا و یا عدم بازگشت خون کافی از پاها، ضعف سیستم لنفاوی، لخته خون، آسیب‌های عصبی و مشکلات عضلانی استخوانی داشته باشد.
دکتر رامتین مسعودی و همکاران در آفیس‌های بیولی هیلز، انیسینو و گلندل مشکلات سرخ رگ و سیاه‌رگ‌های شما را با آخرین تکنولوژی زیر یک سقف درمان می‌کنند. قبول اکثر بیمه‌های پی پی او و مدیکر. 310-855-7171 310-855-7171.
اسپشال این ماه فری وین اسکرینینگ.
کردیت تو کجا ساخته؟ من رفتم کردیت ریپیر ولی اوزام داغونه.
خب دیگه کردیت من انریچه، کردیت تو خدا میدونه چیه.
بابا اینا خیلی ادعا داشتن.
همه اینا از دفتر آریان اقبالی بیرون اومدن، چیزی بلد نیستم. بیا برو آفیس انریچ، 60 نفر کادر داره، چه برو بیایی. یادت میده چطوری با کمترین پول بهترین زندگی رو تو آمریکا داشته باشی؟
مجموعه بزرگ آریان اقبالی، 1800 اقبالی، 1800-344-2254.
ببینم امیر، تو بیمه عمر داری؟
بیمه عمر؟ نه، برای چی بگیرم که بی خودی پول خودم رو حرام بکنم؟
خب وقتی آدم بچه داره یا رو خونش لون داره باید یه پروتکشن داشته باشه که اگه خدایی نکرده اتفاقی افتاد خونش از دست نره و بچه هاشم آلا خون والا خون نشه.
عجب، منو به فکر انداختی.
میدونی برای این که به قول خودت هم پولت حروم نشه میتونی از بیمه صوفی یه بیمه بگیری که بعد 20 سال تمام و کمال بتونی پولتو پس بگیری. دیگه از این بهتر؟
جالبه.
تازه یه چیز دیگه، با بیمه عمری که از صوفی میگیری هم پولت پس انداز میشه هم بیمه بازنشستگی و از کار افتادگی رو داری.
یعنی میگی با بیمه عمری که از صوفی بگیرم سه تا مزایای بیمه عمر و بازنشستگی و از کار افتادگی رو یه جا دارم؟
کاملا همینجوره.
آفرین، پس شماره بیمه صوفی رو بهم میدی؟
818-933-4000
License number 0F00747.
همونطور که بخش سلامت عمومی در کالیفرنیا اعلام کرده تزریق نوبت دوم واکسن برای مقابله بیشتر با کووید 19 و گونه دلتا بسیار حائز اهمیت است. دکتر رابرت واچر، مسئول بخش پزشکی دانشگاه کالیفرنیا در سان فرانسیسکو، معتقد است حتی اگر از تاریخ قرار واکسن دوم شما گذشته یا واکنش هایی مثل تب و سرفه به نوبت اول داشتید، برای بالا بردن مقاومت بدن از 80% به 95% حتما تزریق نوبت دوم را جدی بگیرید.
آیا شما هم مثل من باید رنج برنامه ریزی مراسم یادبود عزیزانتان را توأم با غم از دست دادنشان تحمل می کردید؟ من مریم شهرستانی آماده ام شما را در این امر دشوار و احساسی یاری کنم. مطمئن باشید پیش خرید قطع زمین و پرداخت هزینه های مراسم خاک سپاری از قبل بهترین هدیه است که می توانید به خود و عزیزانتان تقدیم کنید. با من مریم شهرستانی در پیرز برادرز ولی اوکس گریفن در شهر زیبای وستلیک ویلج، همان محلی که بسیاری از افراد سرشناس ایرانی به خاک سپرده شدند، تماس بگیرید تا قیمت‌های مخصوص پیش خرید را با پیش پرداخت کم در اقساط ماهیانه بدون چک کردن کردیت در اختیارتان قرار دهم. 818-540-8192 818-540-8192 لایسنس نمبر FD1344.
انتخاب یک وکیل آگاه و مبرز از میان وکلا کار آسانی نیست، به ویژه وکیلی که بعد از دریافت پرونده در دسترس باشد و با شفافیت پاسخگوی شما باشد.
رادنی مصریانی
قدم به قدم نتایج را با شما در میان بگذارد.
رادنی مصریانی
وکیلی استوار با تجربه، مدافع حقیقی حقوق شما در تصادفات و صدمات بدنی، اختلاف کارمند و کارفرماست. 818-80-80-88 818-80-80-88 مصریانی.com.
اگر در این روزهای پرچالش دچار اضطراب، افسردگی و یا مشکلات خانوادگی شده اید، با ما در مرکز مشاوره هنر بهزیستی تماس بگیرید. 323-207-56-38 هزینه جلسات بر اساس توانایی مالی شما تعیین می‌گردد. مشاوره تلفنی و اسکایپ از سراسر جهان. 323-207-56-38.
من سیامک شجریان، عهده‌دار تدریس آواز و ترانه های ایرانی هستم.
من کیاوش نورایی، سازهای ویالون، پیانو و سنتور را آموزش می دهم.
پریسا دانشور هستم، مدرس نی و موسیقی کودکان.
مهدی باقری هستم، مدرس کمانچه، ستار و تئوری موسیقی.
میثاق اسحاقی هستم، مدرس کمانچه، تنبک و دف.
متین اسحاقی هستم، مدرس تار و ستار.
310-477-41-41.
فصلنامه آرمان، نشریه بنیاد فرهنگی آرمان، هر سه ماه یک بار در وبسایت www.armanfoundation.com با مقالاتی از بزرگان قلم و اندیشه از داخل و خارج ایران منتشر می‌گردد. مطالعه این نشریه وزین فرهنگی را به علاقه‌مندان فرهنگ و ادب ایران توصیه می‌کنیم. فصلنامه آرمان، armanfoundation.com.
Join us on Twitter at KIRN670AM.
آیا می خواهید از شرایط تحصیل در دانشگاه های آمریکا مطلع شوید؟ آیا مایلید شانس پذیرفته شدن در دانشگاه مورد نظرتان را بالا ببرید؟ شاید هم به اطلاعات وام ها، بورس های دانشگاهی و آخرین تغییرات تست هایی نظیر امکت نیاز دارید. دکتر پروین شهلاپور با برنامه گام به گام با دانشپژوهان جوان هر شنبه از ساعت 10 تا 11 صبح پاسخگوی سوالات شما خواهند بود.
فیلتر، عصاره شیرین از اتفاقات تلخ، طنزی از دل جامعه، صفحه رنگی در کتاب سیاه و سفید اخبار، برنامه از شاهین جامعی با همراهی سالومه، هر شنبه ساعت 7 شب از رادیو ایران 670 AM.
بشنو از نی،
برنامه از دل فرهنگ ایران، ریشیابی ضرب و مثل‌های فارسی، تکه کلام‌های عامیانه، روایات و حکایات شیرین و همچنین تاریخ پرشکوه ایران زمین، هر شنبه از ساعت 6 تا 7 بعد از ظهر با من محمود افهمی همراه باشید.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. Authorities in Illinois say four people have been killed in a single vehicle accident. Authorities say that car was split entirely in half. U.S. Surgeon General says he's very worried about what's ahead concerning COVID-19 increasing in every state, as well as millions who are still unvaccinated and the contagious variant spreading at a rapid pace. Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, residents there again required to wear masks indoors regardless of the vaccination status, although the L.A. County Sheriff says he will not enforce that mandate. Just no let-up to the wildfires in the western United States. Thousands of people have been forced to evacuate over the weekend. The largest blaze right now in southeast Oregon, it's expanded to 100 square miles. This is SRN News.
KIRN 670 AM Radio Iran.
Radio Iran.
دنیای ما، جامعه ما.
Our world, our community with Debbie Amini.
با سلامی دوباره خدمت شما شنوندگان عزیز، در قسمت دوم برنامه دنیای ما جامعه ما هستیم و با مهمان عزیزی که در سال 2017 تاج دختر شایسته کشور عراق را از آن خودشون کردن، خانم سارا ایدان، باهاشون صحبت میکنیم و اینکه یاد گرفتیم دلیل اینکه خواستن اصلا در این بیوتی پجن شرکت بکنن و اینکه هدفشون در حال حاضر به عنوان یک هیومانیتی رایت اکتیویست چی هست. در ضمن من تلفن‌های تماس با استودیو رو خدمتتون اعلام بکنم، اگر که دوست دارید با استودیو تماس بگیرید و صحبت بکنید خودتون با خانم سارا ایدان، تلفن‌های تماس با استودیو هست 323-512-7264. تکرار میکنم، تلفن‌های 323-512-7264 که میتونید تماس بگیرید و خودتون مستقیماً با خانم سارا ایدان صحبت بکنید و همطور برنامه‌هایی که ایشون در پیش دارن. Sarah, I wanted to talk about my childhood. As you probably know, there was a war between our country, Iran, and Iraq, a war mm-hmm. that lasted about 6 years. As a child,
8 years.
Yeah. As a child, I was living actually in a city in the western region of Iran, which was kind of close to Iraq. And I remember all the fears from the bombs, the missiles, hiding in the basement. And honestly, mm-hmm. I never understood the reason of that war, neither then as a child and nor now. I also heard many stories before the Islamic Revolution of some Jewish Iraqi people mm-hmm. who fled Iraq and came to Iran, leaving all their belongings, their loved ones behind. I just wanted to know your opinion on as a person who grew up in Iraq and then came here mm-hmm. and then you received death threats from, let's say, people from your own country, what do you think causes all these conflicts and perhaps hate among people?
I think, first of all, I mean, definitely we had a dictator who, you know, fought the Jews because he hated Israel and he was planning to liberate Palestine, in his words, you know, and take over Israel and be the next Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi. And the reason, so this is why he was, you know, oppressing the Jews and fighting the Jews. And I told you, he believed in pan-Arabism, you know, because that was the Ba'ath Party slogan and their ideology. And it's the same reason I would say he went to war with Iran, but no, it's more like, to be honest, I would think it was a mistake on both sides, because Khomeini, I think at the time, mm-hmm. he also wanted to invade Iraq. He wanted to spread the Islamic Republic because, you know, the majority of Iraqis are Shia and they would be on his side. And this is why, you know, he went to war with Iraq with, like, it was like a threat. He was like definitely a threat to the Iraqi people mm-hmm. With his ideology. And the biggest proof is that when Saddam was taking out, we are literally right now, you know, you look at Iraq and it's ruled by the Iranian regime. Everyone knows that. I mean, now you walk in the cities like Najaf in Karbala and they named streets after Khomeini.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how much influence the Islamic Republic have. So I believe that's the reason why he went to war with them. And it's really sad because so many people paid the price. Iraqi people paid the price. Kurdish people paid the price mm-hmm. for a war between two evil regimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad. So until today, like sadly today, you see a lot of Iraqis, like they hold resentment to the Irani people. And it's, I kind of understand like why you would have resentment because, you know, what's going on in Iraq today. But a lot of them don't understand that Iranians, just like Iraqis, a lot of them are anti their government, but they can't do anything. You know, and it's just like us when we were under Saddam and we couldn't do anything because he was that powerful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really complicated situation. It's really sad. I just feel like both, you know, the Iraqi people and the Iranians have been, you know, victims by these two evil powers. And sadly, the U.S. really, really mishandled everything. I felt, you know, like they could have helped by that time to prevent both of those dictators, you know, the dictatorships,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't. So, you know, everything we're dealing with today, I would say it's kind of, you know, these regimes' fault, but it's also the U.S. definitely has a role, you know, in the mess that we are seeing today.
Okay. I think that it's really important to bring about awareness to people of the world to realize what's going on, and they shouldn't necessarily follow the person who is in charge of their government and, you know, mm-hmm. creating peace among people, creating unity, friendship is important. What do you think about that?
Of course. And, you know, as we speak, like right now, Iraqis are marching in in many cities in San Diego. And I was supposed to go, but I couldn't go because, you know, I'm doing this interview and I'm doing another interview today. And it's just a really full, busy day for me. But I really wanted to go and join them.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I'm glad you had another interview as well. Otherwise, I would have felt really guilty.
No. I really have that, you know, and I have meetings that I have to be in L.A. today, and uh-huh. I couldn't leave and go to San Diego.
Uh-huh.
And I wish that they had one in L.A. so I could go and join them. So they're doing these rallies and they're protesting, you know, with the main word end impunity. And they want the U.S. government to have more of a position, like to stand up and, you know, and talk with the Iraqi government and say end impunity, because the Iraqi government are basically letting all the Iran-backed militias, you know, dealing the cards and killing any Iraqi who go on the street and demand a better life.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with, you know, the Iran regime politicians, we call them in Iraq, because they literally, those were people who lived, they were Iraqi and they were, they fled from Saddam regime. They went to Iran and they were anti-Saddam, but at the same time, they are pro the Islamic Republic. And the minute the war, like, you know, when Saddam was removed, they came back into the country and they formed the political parties in Iraq and they held high positions, like, you know, Nour al-Maliki, the former Iraqi prime minister, and all of those people around him, like Adil bin al-Mahdi or something, Adil ibn al-Mahdi, I cannot remember his name, who is a really good friend with Qasem Soleimani. And when Soleimani was killed, you know, in the same attack in Iraq, he was with him in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the level of loyalty and deep relation with the Islamic Republic. And sadly, those are the people who are controlling Iraq today. So Iraqis are taking it to the streets and demanding that Biden needs to speak, because, you know, Trump, before Biden, Trump was really tough on the Iranian regime, but Biden sadly has been trying to be more diplomatic all for the sake of the nuclear deals, and Iraqis and Iranians are paying the price, and Lebanese, and, you know, many countries, and Syrians, many countries in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, today, like, I posted a video about it, and I'm gonna, you know, hopefully if I have time I will post more.
Where did you post the video, just in case that our audience members are interested in following you and looking at those videos? Do you want to give the address out?
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. So I posted on my Instagram, and it's under Sarah Idan, SARAHIDAN. And I would say I'm more political on Twitter, which is under Real Sarah Idan. Both of them I always post, you know, and I don't only like just talk about Iraq. I also talk a lot about what's going on in Iran. And, you know, there's this beautiful activist. I'm sure you heard of her name. Her name is Masi. I don't know if I said it right.
Yeah, Masi Alinejad. Yes.
Yes. So, you know, I retweet her a lot, and like many activists from Iran, because Iraqis and Iranians really share like common interests and common goal. They both want dignity and freedom, you know, dignified life and freedom. And hopefully, like, I really think that the Iranian people and the Iraqis should work together. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, try to get their voice heard in, you know, in the Capitol, in the White House, in D.C. And, yeah, we'll see from there.
That's true. You know, when I invite consulate generals of different countries to this program, I always ask them that as a consulate general in America, how can they contribute to friendship and unity among people? And obviously their answers has to do with their position and the diplomat world. But you mm-hmm. are Miss Universe. So as the crowned Miss Universe, how would you be able to contribute towards that unification?
Okay, I'm Miss Universe Iraq. I'm not Miss Universe.
Yeah, Miss Universe Iraq.
Yes. So, you know, I think the only thing, and I always like tweet about that, and I'm happy about that, because I had a lot of people ask me, they wanted me to run for Congress, which I have considered. I'm not sure yet. I'm still deciding. You know, the reason I love doing what I'm doing without being tied to a political party, or because I feel like I have more freedom and I don't need to be diplomatic. And I can even like talk shit sometimes, because, you know, truth is not diplomacy. Truth is truth. It's mm-hmm. pure, you know, and sometimes you just, you know, a lot of people would be insulted. They're like, you need to be diplomatic. No, I don't need to be diplomatic. I need to tell you what the situation is, because diplomacy, I feel like, yeah, it can serve governments, but it rarely serves people. Mm-hmm. I think people need more than diplomacy. They need solutions. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, to be a representative, or I used to be a representative, you know, because that was back in 2017. So I think of myself today as, you know, maybe a representative of people who are like me, who are very independent, don't, you know, very honest and want to make a difference.
Have you ever established any organization in order to achieve that goal?
Yes. So, you know, during that time when I was being attacked, you know, for my picture with Miss Israel, a lot of the comments that I've received, and just because I, you know, voiced an opinion, we need to establish a peace between Jews and between Muslims and between Israel and the Middle East, I received a lot of anti-Semitism, and I didn't realize how anti-Semitism was deeply rooted in, you know, in the belief of many Muslims, sadly. And, you know, it was, you know, they were taught that way for political reasons, I believe. And
sorry to mm-hmm. interrupt you, but I'm kind of interested to learn what were they taught? I mean, what did they are told about Jewish people? What do they think of Jewish people?
I mean, a lot of them, you know, first of all, the word Jew, Yehudi, like for me, like growing up in Iraq, like if you want to insult someone and say they are the lowest of the low, they're like scum of the earth or something like that, you literally say Shlon nas Yehud, hada shun wahed Yehudi. What kind of people are they? They're Jews. Oh, he's such a Jew. Like, this is the culture, the country I grew up in, you know, the Muslim community I grew up in. And we're not even that like religious. We're not even like, you know, the Islamic Republic or like Pakistan or Afghanistan. And we were taught that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of them, they believe that Jews are cursed by God. They're murderers or this and that. They have, and some of them, they say they are pigs and monkeys, and like they're very, very dehumanizing to the Jews. And they there's like a lack of trust and like hatred and blind hatred. And so for me, I saw that and I was, you know, like shocked. I was reminded because I came to the U.S. like almost 12 years ago. And, you know, I've been here for a while, so I forgot that. And for me to relive that, I realized, okay, we really need to do something about that in the Muslim community. So I started the organization, my organization, I founded it. It's called Humanity Forward. And it's literally the focus is to rebuild the relations between Muslims and Jews. So, you know, I have gone to the UN, I have gone and, you know, spoke at many huge organizations and, you know, just to talk about these issues.
Wow, interesting. Humanity Forward. If you don't mind me asking, mm-hmm. you said that you moved to America about 12 years ago. Is that when your view of the Jewish people changed, or you really didn't have that view of Jewish people back in Iraq as well?
I'll be honest with you. I grew up in a family that was moderate, and I, you know, I would hear people like they would say that. And to me, I never really thought about it because I've never met a Jewish person in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I ever met a Jewish person was like 2011, I think, when I came to the U.S. And I was, you know, like in Sherman Oaks, sitting in a cafe, in a coffee shop. And this woman, she was sitting, she heard me speak Iraqi, and then she spoke Iraqi. And she said, I'm Iraqi. I'm like, oh, my God, hi. And then she said, I'm Iraqi Jew. And then she told me the entire story of how Iraqi Jews were prosecuted and how they ended up leaving Iraq. And then I met another person who was Iraqi Jew. And, you know, they're all older. They actually lived through the whole thing. They saw it with their own eyes. So I learned a lot, and I felt so ashamed about, you know, what my government did to those people, and also felt ashamed by how Iraqis abandoned those people, basically. You know, they were very fearful of the regime. So that was the first time, you know, I was exposed to Jewish people in my mm-hmm. life. It was in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw that. And of course, by that time, you know, I'm already grown. And I never been influenced. Even when I was in Iraq, I never been influenced by religious leaders. And I've always thought there was, like, you know, I grew up like praying. I read Quran. I know it very well. But I, a lot of the imams, a lot of the sheikhs, I did not listen to. I would think, you know, even when I was a kid, I would think they are radicals and illogical and inhumane, especially to women. So that kind of pushed me away from religious people and what they say and how they talk about, you know, every other person.
Wow. Let's go back to Humanity Forward. Guessing that there are perhaps among our audience members people who would like to learn more about this organization. I'm sure there are a lot mm-hmm. of people who are trying to bring peace to the world, and they are willing to do whatever they can. So in case they like to learn more, or they want to join you and, you know, help you out in the goal that you have, would you please let us know how they can contact you? What would be the information?
Mm-hmm. Of course. The website is humanity.org, and the email address is humanityforwardorg@gmail.com. And they can always, of course, you know, reach out to me personally or go on my social media, because on my social media, I always post, you know, about my organization, and they can find it from there.
That's great. Wonderful. We're coming to the end of today's program. I wish we had more time and we could talk about it more. But really quickly, just because you mentioned that you read Quran and you grew up with it, and then at the same mm-hmm. time, there were people who talking badly about Jewish people, and then you came here and your idea towards Jewish people was changed. I hear a lot that everybody says Islam is the religion of peace, and I agree with that. How do you put these two together? As a person who read Quran and learned around about Quran, what does Quran says about people of other religion? Forget about Jewish people, mm-hmm. any other religion, like Christians.
So in the right in the beginning, actually, in the Quran, so when you open the Quran, the first ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha, after Surah Al-Fatiha, it's Surah Al-Baqarah, the main, right, you know, after the first page. When you read Surah Al-Baqarah, there is literally a chapter that states very clearly that says, you know, the Jews, the Sabians, the, you know, the Christians are all people of God, and you have no right to judge between them. Only God can do that. And they should not feel any fear, like they should not be fearful, or they should not be, you know, feel that they are unjust or something. Like, it's right there, right there, the second surah, right after Surah Al-Fatiha. So, you know, like, sadly, even, you know, even Muhammad says, لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ, you have your religion and I have mine. But I think most of the people who are, you know, we say the word, half of mishfahim, you know, it means like they know how to repeat, but they don't understand anything of what they are repeating, because those are people who literally they just follow what the sheikh tell them, and they don't even understand Quran. Maybe a lot of them don't even know how to read Quran.
Yeah, so maybe the suggestion should be just for them to read at least the first 10 pages. And then a lot of things will change in this world.
Exactly.
I want to thank you one more time for dedicating your time and being with us today. We have to say goodbye. I really thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
دوستان عزیز، همه شما رو به خدای بزرگ می‌سپارم تا برنامه آینده. روز خوش و خدا نگهدار.